The Iraqi Prime Minister, Haider al-Abadi, has described it as a failure for the global community. His description of how the ISIL terrorist group has been dealt with. By some accounts, the U.S. and the U.S.-led coalition, by default, fall under this failure, even though the U.S. has insisted its so-called coalition against ISIL had made real gains. This is U.S. General John Allen has said that it would take a generation or more to defeat the ISIL in Iraq and in Syria. In this edition of the debate, we'll discuss the outcomes of the meeting in Paris with a look at the forum in Qatar, in which both had attendees known for their support for the terrorists, and also in both forums, there was one missing ingredient that has been successful against the terrorists, namely Iran.
For the first time since January, the U.S.-led coalition against ISIL has held a summit. Nearly 90% of the coalition is a NATO member or partner, but despite their combined resources, the key city of Ramadi in Iraq and the historic city of Palmyra in Syria have just fallen in only the latest setbacks.
Coalition airstrikes are now in their 10th month, and yet ISIL controls an area the size of Italy. Iraq's prime minister says the coalition is not stopping their terrorists from traveling to the region, is providing Iraq with almost no weapons, and understands very well the limited capabilities of airstrikes against such a group.
The only significant announcement was a pledge of more arms for Iraq, but will they even offset the arms captured by ISIL? Iraq recently announced the loss of more than 2,300 armored Humvee cars valued at well over $1 billion.
Many journalists are calling this summit and the coalition itself a farce designed tool to fool people into thinking that they are actually doing anything significant to save Iraq. For months, they have done nothing at all.
The coalition refused to even discuss Syria, despite ISIL's vast destruction there. Even more confusing is that many coalition nations continue to give diplomatic, military, and economic support to ISIL and al-Qaeda-linked groups in order to overthrow Syrian President Bashar al-Assad.
There is simply no cohesion at all this policy. There is no way you can beat ISIL by just fighting in Iraq when they control all the border crossings to Syria. Why does the coalition refuse to even try and make peace with Syria? And how much longer can the world stay blind to this fact?
France's airstrikes have been few and even denigrated as a sales exhibition for their Rafale fighters, and one which has worked for the long unsellable jet. The accusations that the anti-ISIL coalition is simply skin deep appear set to continue, and perhaps along with more ISIL advances. Ramin Mazahiri, Press TV, Paris.
Our guest for this edition of the debate from the Answer Coalition, we have Richard Becker, who joins us from San Francisco. And we have investigative journalist Lee Kaplan, who joins us from Berkeley. I'd like to welcome you both. Lee Kaplan, let me start with you. You have this two-day Paris meeting. Curious as to why this meeting actually came about in the first place. Is it because of the fall of Anbar in Ramadi? And why do you think that happened?
Well, I believe the meeting came together because they do have to find a solution for it, but they've got such a crazy situation there. One of the things that your report neglected to mention is that General Soleimani, who's the head of the IRGC, is making arrangements to bring Hezbollah into the fighting also as a proxy. And, Iran, at least from the U.S. and Western perspective, is also a terrorist state. And the question is, you know, how do you choose sides here and how do you fight ISIS, which is chopping off everybody's heads? Then, of course, you talk about Iraq. Well, it's pretty common knowledge that despite the fact that the U.S. gave billions of dollars of military aid to the Iraqi army, they didn't have the will to fight. It's a Shiite army to a large degree, actually. It's a Shiite government in Iraq, which also has ties to Iran. So, you know, for the West, in one sense, when the Iranians talk about death to America or death to Israel or death to the West, it's a real Gordian knot. It's turned out that ISIL is now showing presence in Gaza and has been attacking Hamas in Gaza to take over there. So you have another strategic threat. So, you know, I'm not laying it all on Iran at this point. But the fact is, for the West, it's almost a no-win situation, no matter what they do. But you have to stop ISIL because ISIL is to such an extreme that has never been seen before. I mean, chopping the heads off of three-year-old babies and killing everybody and terrorizing the whole world. It's really The end result of all the terrorism and conflagration that's been going on in the Middle East for the last 50, 75 years.
Uh-huh. Okay, Richard, first of all, Lee Kaplan, Iran is not a terrorist organization. That you said the U.S. has said that, or else the U.S. wouldn't, for example, be in with Iran.
They're a state sponsor of terror. They're a state sponsor of terrorism.
Okay,
what I should have said.
And that's up for debate. Love to get into it, but not in this edition of the debate. We'll make sure we get you on that topic.
Fine.
Were it to come up. Now, Richard Becker, this
Let's
conference is said, in some respects, is damage control for the U.S. for its lack of, for its lack of efficiency when it comes to the U.S. and the coalition, this so-called coalition that is supposed to fight the terrorists. You have the Iraqi Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi that has come out and said, you know, this is a failure of the international community. Your reaction to, first of all, this conference being held, coming on the heels of the Daesh terrorists taking control of Anbar and Ramadi?
Well, clearly this was a photo op. It was a miserable failure. Very much opposed to the ideas that Mr. Kaplan is putting forward is the exclusion of Iran from the conference and of the Syrian government, two governments which are fighting, have been fighting against ISIS, that made sure that it would be exactly that, just a photo op. And you have Ashton Carter, for instance, saying, you know, that the reason that Ramadi, the capital of Anbar, fell was that there was a lack of will to fight, but takes no responsibility. Neither he nor other top U.S. officials take responsibility for the fact that they, in fact, created, not ISIS or ISIL, they created the conditions that allowed ISIS to transform itself from al-Qaeda in Iraq into the force that it is today by, number one, the invasion of Iraq and the occupation, the destruction of its government, the disbanding of its military in 2003, and then in 2011, the intervention in Libya, which made Libya, created a failed state in Libya, and the intervention in Syria. And it is in Syria where al-Qaeda in Iraq was able to transform, to grow, to have space because of the outside intervention, and to grow into the force that allowed them to take Mosul and virtually all of Anbar province, and now, according to the authorities, half of Syria as well. So the United States policies have created this, but they have also created in the United States, and I think both Republican and Democratic politicians know this, that based on the intervention, the war in Iraq, there is no way that they can rally the population in the United States to mobilize the kind of forces the United States would have to mobilize in order to go in and to defeat the Islamic State. So the United States government is in a quandary at this point about what to do. They're losing control, but at the same time, they are not pursuing any kind of a strategy that that would defeat ISIS, and they are not interested in doing anything along those lines. It's very clear that they regret the rise of ISIS, but at the same time, they do not see a way out of this present situation.
Lee Kaplan, why is the U.S. and its coalition failing in their fight against ISIS or these terrorists? I mean, you got to tell me that you claim, not you, but America claims to have one of the biggest, most efficient armies in the world. You have a land mass of about 30% of Iraq by the name of Ramadi, and then you have all these terrorists parading into the town and taking it over. It fell over. And I know you said that, Ashton Carter said that, well, they didn't have the will to fight, of which later on the U.S. came out and apologized. But do you mean to tell me the U.S. doesn't have intelligence enough to find out about Ramadi being taken over and then eliminating them?
Well, let's talk about the intelligence, and let's talk about what Mr. Becker said a minute ago. You know, you talk about the U.S. and how they deal with ISIS. It turns out that ISIS, even though they pass themselves off as a fundamentalist Islamic organization, that the leadership are actually former generals of Saddam Hussein's, who moved over from being generals in the old Saddam regime to creating a religious conservative revolutionary movement called ISIS, which they've been taking over the area on. Now, the United States is probably the most generous country in the history of the world, and we sacrificed our blood and guts of our young men fighting in places like Fallujah and Ramadi and all these places. They lost their lives and they lost their limbs, and we did that. And
they were sacrificed. They were sacrificial lambs. They were sacrificed for the interest of imperialist policy.
I'm speaking, Mr. Becker. You
can
have your turn in a moment, Mr. Becker.
You were an all-out supporter of the war that created these conditions, just as you supported every Israeli war against the Palestinians and against the Lebanese people.
Mr. Becker, you were a supporter of Saddam Hussein.
You have a bloody history.
So don't tell me about who supported who.
You have a bloody history yourself.
Mr. Becker, you supported the most heinous murderer in Iraq, and you supported Saddam Hussein when he was in power. And actually, ISIS is the outgrowth of Saddam Hussein's regime because it's his former generals
who
now
head
ISIS.
That's ridiculous. So that's something. You and are just trying to get off the hook
You are a communist.
You supported the war.
You are a communist
on Iraq.
Member who wants the overthrow of the U.S. The war on Iraq to get rid of Saddam Hussein, I supported. That's right. And all thinking people who support democracy supported that.
Yeah, so you supported
that.
the war that created the current crisis. We supported Iraq against U.S. intervention, as we support all countries in the Middle East against U.S. intervention. You are a fervent supporter of the State of Israel, which has carried out bloody wars against the Palestinians,
and you are a fervent supporter, and you are a fervent supporter of every dictatorship in the Middle East that wants to oppress their own people. The fact is, ISO that you belong to call for the violent overthrow of the U.S. government. So you would like to see the U.S. government fail. Now, if you want to talk to me about the situation going on with ISIS and what's happening in the Middle East right now, part of this has to do with domestic policy in the United States. And I don't run the State Department, and I can't tell the president what to do. I have my own philosophy on that. However, I can tell you, I'm sure on your end of the aisle in this argument, you're going to try and claim that this is the United States' fault, because you blame everything on the United States, and you support every
fault of the war of the interventions. This is the chickens coming home to roost for the United States because of its interventions, of its wars against the people of the region that have been going on for the past 70 years.
You wanted Saddam Hussein.
The overthrow of governments in Syria, in Iran,
Mr. Becker, you're obfuscating the facts. You're obfuscating the facts.
Dislocation, dispossession of the Palestinian
people. Israel is not part of ISIS right now. And you are a rabid anti-Semite because you're trying to draw Israel into the debate here. It has nothing to do with ISIS.
Yes, it does.
So even if you want to blame the United States, Israel, no, it doesn't.
What is Benjamin Netanyahu doing time and again over at the Golan Heights, treating some of these terrorists? There's plenty of footage out there. Just search the internet. He's talking to these terrorists in this makeshift hospital in the occupied Golan Heights. Israel's treating some of these extremists.
You're saying terrorists. There are, believe it or not, some factions of those fighting Assad's regime who are not affiliated with al-Qaeda. He's not talking to the al-Nusra Front. He's talking to Syrians who want to have a democratic government in Syria. You know, you guys always like to leave out little details and facts. You know, let me repeat again what I said. Mr. Becker here supported Saddam Hussein and wanted him to stay in power. He was a murderer. He was killing at least 5,000 Iraqs a week.
Against U.S. intervention.
Let me finish. I know that's attack. I know that's a tactic.
You know, you're a liar.
The United States is still an investigative journalist. Now I'm a liar. Everybody's a liar, but the Communist Party.
Let's be honest. You're a PR man.
No, I'm not a PR man for anybody.
Yes, you are.
Mr. Becker, you're a communist whack job. You're a communist whack job who wants the U.S. government overthrown by the Communist Party. You want a violent overthrow of the U.S. government, and that's why you're in here talking for the other side.
Okay. So let's get a question in here. Gentlemen, hold on a second. Lee Kaplan, I know you want to continue, but I need to ask you this. Lee Kaplan, Haider al-Abadi, Iraqi's prime minister.
Okay.
He's come out and said, out of the 10 fighters that are on the ground in Iraq, 6 of them are foreign fighters, of which he goes on to say, why are there so many terrorists from Saudi Arabia, from the Persian Gulf countries, from the Persian Gulf Arab countries? Why are there so many from Egypt and so many from Syria and Turkey? He's naming some countries that are part of this conference who are supporting this terrorist. So that just doesn't make sense, does it?
Well, you're not talking about fighters for ISIS. For example, you want to talk about if you have fighters from Egypt for ISIS. Listen, they have some fighters who were American Muslims who joined ISIS. They don't represent the U.S. government. They're individuals, they're fundamentalists, they're radicals, and they're fighting with ISIS. But to try and say, well, why is the U.S. government? They're not there for the U.S. government or by dint of the U.S. government. They're there as individuals who are doing that. So now, if you want to talk on an individual basis, again, I'll repeat a main argument about what's going on here is that most people don't realize that the generals, the leaders of the ISIS, were generals in Saddam Hussein's army before. Now they've donned robes and they've become imams and they're running
and
ISIS,
so
they've got a
was
new
the US
dictatorship.
Disbanding of the army. That was the result of the U.S. disbanding of the army and the government of Iraq in 2003 in an act of supreme imperialist arrogance, that they thought that they could create a new reality in
classic,
Iraq
classic
that would
imperialism.
Well, you know what,
Mr. Becker, ignore history.
Ignore history
and turn it on its head. Saddam Hussein had the biggest army in the Middle East at that time.
He was sponsoring
terrorism.
That's not true.
He was attacking his neighbors, including Iran.
That's completely false.
Mr. Becker, you know, you're so full of it.
Iraq was even weakened by sanctions so much that it was not threatening anybody, and you know that, the world knows that, the neocons who you support decided to go in and overthrow the government, disband the entire government, and say, we'll give you something new in its place. And instead, what they created was chaos. They created disaster. They actively set one group against another in Iraq as part of their policy, not as an accident, any more than that the intelligence was faulty. It was a war of aggression. It was a crime against peace. Under international law,
Mr. Becker, really? I mean, seriously, your revisionist history is kind of a joke. It's really hilarious. You supported Saddam Hussein.
Okay, Lee Kaplan, we can't forget that, can we?
Israel's war crimes against the Palestinians.
Lee Kaplan, we can't forget the fact that U.S. supported Saddam Hussein when it attacked Iran in that eight-year war. But moving on beyond that, we have to figure out what it is the U.S. and its allies are really doing in the region, and namely Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Turkey. Lee Kaplan, how are they fighting the ISIL terrorists when you have them doing what they're doing in Iraq, and at the same time, they want to fight the Assad forces? The most successful force, by the way, against the terrorists has been the Assad forces. Why don't they focus more on that front, cooperating with Assad forces to get rid of the terrorists, instead of just wanting to get rid of Assad, which is an obsession that they've had?
Well, okay. You're going to ask a question, or you're going to do a whole thesis here?
Look, no, I'm not.
The fact of the matter is that Assad's forces are not the Assad forces are not that effective against the ISIS right now. In fact, they're losing. And again, as I said at the start of this program,
well,
I said you have such a mess
them.
There.
They're
at
fighting
this
against
point.
Them. They're not supporting them. They're not supporting them like Saudi Arabia and Qatar and Turkey are supporting the ISIS forces and have been supporting them. Out of respect for my
Mr. Becker, keep talking, because it's the only way you can try to win the argument is by obfuscating everything.
Iran and Syria are fighting them on the ground.
Okay, time for a question.
But
why has U.S. General John Allen, Lee Kaplan, why has John Allen said that this is going to take a generation or more to defeat the ISIL Takfiri terrorists? A similar thing that it was said by Leon Panetta back in, I believe, June or July, that this is going to take 30 years to fight these terrorists.
Precisely because you have a culture in that part of the world, and the only country, by the way, which isn't part of that culture is Israel. You have a part of the world where the culture is so tied up with religion and totalitarianism and a certain philosophy.
See, here's
and
Mr.
God
here,
and land and all
here
this stuff.
We go.
Mr.
We
Becker,
go.
He's
you
asking me the question. He's asking me the question.
You're anti,
no.
You're anti-Islamic, you're anti-Muslim and anti-Arab racism to talk about.
Islam is not a race, Mr.
You're
Becker.
Saying it's a defective
Islam
culture.
Is not
you
a race.
You are a racist. You are a racist.
You are a communist
bullshitter.
Okay.
Thank you for correcting me.
Okay.
You are a racist and Islamophobe.
Islam
we gotta keep
is
the
not
clean.
A race.
Lee Kaplan, let's keep the language clean, please. Go ahead. Who'd like
okay.
to take
well,
the floor?
If you can get Mr. Becker to shut up and try, stop trying to interrupt me, yeah, we can,
okay,
we can accomplish something here.
Brian Becker,
what's your
question, let's give Lee Kaplan a chance because I had to come to you in closing. You have 30 seconds, Lee Kaplan.
Look. You say, why would it last more than 30 years? For the simple reason that in that part of the world, there has been a philosophy of totalitarianism. A lot of it's knit through by Islam, which is not a race, okay? It's an idea. And the fact is that culturally there, you have an adherence to jihad. You have an adherence to xenophobia. They are opposed to the Jews. They don't want a Jewish entity in the middle of the Middle East. They have a certain amount of. They used to get their support mainly from the communist Russia. Today, the Soviet
okay.
Union
sorry,
has changed into
in.
Russia.
Richard Becker,
but you have people like
is
Mr. You have people like Mr. Becker who are
Richard
still
Becker,
perpetuating
30 seconds,
this.
Please go ahead.
Well, I think again that reveals the anti-Islamic and anti-Arab racism that so deeply characterizes Mr. Kaplan and his cohorts. The people of the region oppose the Israel as a colonial settler state. That's what it is. It came, it took the land of the Palestinians, and that's a struggle that continues to rage until today. You know, the Middle East has been the subject of colonial intervention, colonial division, and colonial exploitation. And it continues to a very large degree to today. That's the real problem.
Very
we
well.
In the Answer Coalition believe all U.S. forces should be withdrawn.
Thank you very much, Richard Becker from San Francisco from the Answer Coalition. And investigative journalist Lee Kaplan spoke to us from Berkeley. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. From Mikhail Vitavoy and the entire team in the capital of Tehran, it's goodbye.